This is SMQB's episode 40. It's your NFL week 9 recap, your Plaxico locked up picks of the week, our first winning week of the year. Oh, yes, winning week. You heard it here. We talk college football, a World Series recap, and then an excellent, excellent punchable face of the week that you will not want to miss. But most importantly, we are celebrating House's birthday. Check it out. Leave us 5 stars. Have fun.
Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're 5 attorneys. They're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Meichler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Ace from DC.
SMQBs, this is episode 40, but more importantly than that, it is somebody's birthday. So,
good SMQB.
Happy birthday.
Love. Thanks, fellas.
How was that? There you go.
Better way to skip a lot the of, that's Eagles a lot penal effort. Punishment.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I'm going to just say for you today, I'm wishing you a big Ben Simmons trade. That's my Philly dig and my wish for you.
I'd like to dedicate this episode to House and Bus 2, and you people know who you are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it went out to Bus 2.
Bus 2.
All right, but whatever that means. But this is episode 40, and he is the youngest player inducted in the Hall of Fame. His number has been retired by one of the teams that played last night.
Gale Sayers.
Yes, he played 7 seasons with the Chicago Bears.
Wow. Rooster
started only 4 games.
I swear
games.
I didn't look that up. So I'm just listen that old. He
started only 4 games in his last 2 seasons. So he really played 5 years. And he was a 4-time Pro Bowl selection, a 5-time All-Pro, and twice led the NFL in rushing. Gale Sayers, he wore
and the most electric running back ever.
That's right. So this is your Gale Sayers episode of the SMQBs.
I was kind of hoping you were going to say do a Mike Allstott for me, but this is not important enough. He was 40?
Oh, okay.
You think we're going to talk about a buck this week?
No. I'll see you on Sunday, buddy.
Yeah, we're having SMQB violence in person this weekend.
I'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Well,
recovery. Right.
Well, yeah.
We're all tired, man.
Yeah, everybody's
I have
tired.
This little pain in my lower side.
Right where my liver is located.
Right where your liver is?
Yes.
It's weird. Yeah.
Well, we're through week 9 of the NFL season. So we are, I guess, now more than halfway through. House, lead us through some discussion here. What do we have to talk about?
Well, I have a first question for you. This one is a long distance dedication to Brian Pope because it's a stat question. Mm. But there are 6 quarterbacks, and we're not gonna count Kyler Murray because he didn't start this past weekend. There's 6 starting quarterbacks with at least 1,000 yards passing who have over 100 quarterback rating. Can you guys name who those 6 quarterbacks are who are really doing it up this year in the NFL?
Tom Brady.
Rodgers. Tom Brady is 1.
I'm going to guess Jalen Hurts is on that list.
Jalen Hurts is not on the list.
Aaron.
Aaron.
Aaron, you know what? I take that back. This is because Aaron Rodgers didn't play this past week, and I have to double check that. He may or may not be on that list.
Justin Herbert.
Herbert is not on the list.
Yeah, I bet you his rating isn't that high.
Stafford.
Derek Carr.
Stafford is on the list.
Prescott.
On the list.
Dak.
Derek Carr. Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Matt Stafford are on the list. The next 3 are a little bit more challenging.
Daniel Jones.
No.
you must be kidding.
Lamar.
Tyler Heineke.
Lamar Jackson and Tyler Heineken are not on there.
Hmm.
Oh, God.
Oh, Derek Carr.
We said Derek Carr. I already said that. Yeah.
Not Carr.
No Carr.
The other three.
Josh Allen.
Nope. Believe it or not, these are.
Ben?
Nope.
No way.
You will not be surprised for the first one. You will Tannehill. Be surprised for the other two. Kirk Cousins is on there.
Ooh, interesting.
What?
Carson Wentz is on there.
Mm-hmm.
And the number sixth over 100 quarterback rating is Teddy Bridgewater.
Wow.
Hey, I believe it after Sunday.
Mm.
So, I mean, I guess we'll start there with you, Pope. What happened this past Sunday in Dallas?
Is there a quarterback controversy in Dallas?
Yeah, right.
Cooper Rush. Bring on Cooper Rush.
I mean, they had just gotten rid of Von Miller. How did they win?
Yes. How did that happen?
Well, look, I think Dallas was due for laying an egg. It's the old Bill Parcells, put down the anointing oils. And you can say that about other teams, too. We'll get into that. But from a Dallas standpoint, clearly they did not take Denver nearly as seriously as they should have. They eked out that win against Minnesota, so they thought they were, it was going to be very difficult to beat them, period. Even with Cooper Rush as a quarterback, they brought Dak back. I don't think they brought him back too soon. Look, the Cowboys, there were two fourth down conversions in the first quarter. If they'd made either one of those, probably a different game. They just didn't take them seriously. The only guy who had any fire in him was Micah Parsons. And other than that, they laid an egg. Diggs laid an egg. Zeke laid an egg. The coaching staff laid an egg. And, they got the Falcons coming to town next week, and the Falcons have owned them lately. So let's see if they can bounce back. If not, then, that we're talking about a different kind of team than what I thought we had.
I think
way too much analysis. Way too much analysis. The Cowboys suck. That's the answer. Cowboys suck. This is catching up and exposing them for who they really are.
Okay.
All right. I think of all the good teams that laid an egg, I'd be the least worried about the Cowboys.
Well, we're going to get to that, I'll just say
Denver has won 9 straight against the Cowboys, yes, going back into the 80s.
Wait, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Well, 7th consecutive win back to 1995. They own this team. They own this team. But Rooster alluded to upset weekend and some of the shock. So let's move over to the place where Frank Hoffa is buried and the New York Football Giants. I mean, can you explain that one? The Raiders 23-16?
The Raiders, if the Raiders win that game, they're in first place in the West. And the Giants have been playing, the hapless Giants all season long. We're basically playing for a high draft pick. I can't explain that at all. We're without our two starting wide receivers, our starting running back. The only thing I can tell you is they finally remembered that Evan Engram was on their team. And the guy he's a speedster. He's, occasionally has good hands. I mean...
Well, the Raiders have had some shit going on too, though.
True, but they bounced back in the first week and played just fine.
Hey, they cut number one from last year.
Well, that was shocking. Two guys now, right?
The other thing is Xavier, our safety from Alabama, has been hurt his first 2 years, and he's showed why he was drafted so high in that game. He was awesome. Had two picks, including the game winner, and the defensive front line is looking strong. We're like one good edge rusher away from having a pretty good defense.
So shock number one was the Broncos over the Cowboys. Shock number two was the Giants over the Raiders. But the shock around the NFL, the world, no one could possibly explain the Jags 9 Bills 6. How do you hold Josh Allen and the juggernaut Bills to 6 points? And how does this putrid Jaguars team led by a lost rookie quarterback and an embattled coach win that game?
Anyone?
Yeah. Silence. Anyone?
No, because there are literally no words to that. I have to think that was, it's definitely not the Jaguars being doing anything different. I mean, I really think the Bills went into that game and just assumed they would just roll over them.
I've got stats for you on this one. I'm ready. It's going to be one of my takeaways, and I'm going to give credit to Bill Simmons because I listened to him coming in this morning. Maybe he should listen to us too. But Buffalo has been exposed a little bit now. You know, they were the odds-on favorite to go to the Super Bowl, but if you drill into them, they're 5-3. Look at their five wins. With apologies to the Washington football team, they beat the Dolphins twice, the Texans, and the Chiefs, who now have been seriously exposed. Those are their five wins, right?
Mm. Wow,
that's interesting.
Well, I mean, well, they've lost to the Titans, Steelers, and the Jags.
And the Jags, they don't have a quality win. At the time, you would have thought the Chiefs was a quality win, but now we know.
I'm going to go out on a limb right now and tell you that the Pats win this division.
Rooster, I'm you know I'm there.
I'm there too.
I'm not sure the limb is that long for you to be out on.
I think it's getting a shorter and shorter limb there.
I was shocked by the Bills' offensive line. I mean, the Jaguars have some good defensive players, like Josh Allen.
Now, I think it comes down to a little something else, though. I mean, like they say any given Sunday for a reason, and that's because football is as much a game of will and heart as anything out there. And, you know, there's coaches who know based on the week of practice they had if they're going to be in for a fight or, you know, if they're in trouble that week, because it really is a game of having to be focused and hyped up. And if Buffalo, you know, I don't know if they had their bye yet. I mean, if they're coming in to this game,
they're 5-3. So no.
Yeah. So they're.
That means yes.
No, they must did. Have. Yeah. They did yeah, have it. Right. So yeah. You know. So look, I think you're not focused. You're looking past the team. It's very typical, I think, in football. These are all grown men out there fighting their asses off, and somebody wants it a little bit more. You can neutralize a good team. It happens every year.
It just proves the adage, any given Sunday. That game's the perfect example.
And who needed that win the most?
Scratch and you claw for every inch.
Who needed that win the most? Who really needed
the
that?
The coach.
Urban Meyer, baby.
Coach finger
get
in the ass.
Get some heat off me.
Well, let's stay with the SEC for a minute, because it's time to turn to you, Milk. And there's a certain young student who's partying his ass off at the boot right now, giving you the double bird over your – speaking of anointing oils. Remember that time when you said Joe Burrow was going to win championships?
Win a Super Bowl, that guy's gonna win Super Bowls.
Are you off that bandwagon now, Milkster?
By the way, I was watching that game in my hotel room before I left. Highly frustrating. They could not hold on to the ball. Now, Joe Burrow did throw a horrible pick six. I will give you that. But that defense imploded. I mean, when you're seeing Cleveland complete 70-yard bomb touchdowns, your defense sucks. And they were turning the ball over, and you can't do it. It was one bad game. I'm still not.
They lost to the Jets the week before.
I think the Bengals are a nice
one bad game.
They're a nice improved story this year, but they're so far. They're still the Bungles. I never said
Joe Burrow is going to win the Super Bowl this year. I said he.
You said multiple Super Bowls.
I said no, I did not.
Yeah, you did.
Look.
But I'm sure our crack staff is going to play it back.
You cannot win if you can't hold on to the ball. Not all Joe Burrow's fault. That was.
Let me ask you guys this. Who do you think had the biggest blown opportunity this weekend?
I think the Rams up there. The Rams spit the bid on Sunday night against a Titans team without King Henry. That's inexplicable. They had a great opportunity.
I think Jordan Love.
Well, if you're talking about individuals,
Jordan Love could have owned that team. The fans are so ready for him to have a great game and say good riddance.
He looked terrible
to Rodgers. Oh my God! Yeah. I mean, I think they've got to be thinking about drafting another quarterback after that game.
Well, I'm sure Washington will take Jordan Love.
One game does not a bump.
It was his first game. He looked nervous.
Does not a bust make.
He's been in, you know, he's been
there a couple of years.
Yeah, he's a year and a half.
Yeah.
I don't understand how he didn't look prepared, and he looked scared shitless.
But you need a little time.
But why is it that some of these guys can come right in and play and look like they can handle it, and others, there's just, they look completely lost? I mean, what, how do you figure this out? I mean, what is it about these guys?
Well, look at Justin Fields last night.
I was going to say,
he had his best game last night.
Right. And he got played a really good, knocked out of him the week before.
Yeah.
And came and bounced back. And,
I mean, when I saw him in Tampa, it was really, really bad. And I was shocked last night. He was throwing 50 yard touchdown passes.
But he never looked scared, even when he was getting killed.
Yeah.
I think Jordan Love looked scared.
He looked freaked out. But that, dude, think of how much pressure you have. You're coming in in Aaron Rodgers.
He's like Darnold-esque.
Yeah.
You and I have both seen
fallen.
You and I have both seen Justin Herbert play in person this season. Has anybody else seen him in person?
No.
No?
I saw him last
year. I told you, I think I said to you, get back for that game. You're going to want to see how he moves on the field. Was I right?
Unbelievable. I mean, look, we have a terrible secondary, and I don't want to say that the reason why Justin Herbert had a good game is because we had a bad defense. This guy is no question the real deal. He's big. He's strong. He makes every throw. They run a really brilliant motion offense. He can run with the ball. I think he passed 32 for 38 with 260 yards and 3 touchdowns, 1 a running touchdown. I remember watching this guy towards the end of the season. I only caught a couple of the games and maybe one of his bowls for Oregon. I couldn't understand why he was drafted so high. He looked kind of aloof. He had one special game in the, I think, the postseason, either one of the senior bowls or the actual bowl game itself. But this guy, talk about now, I don't know whether they're going to surround him with all the pieces right now. He's got some pretty good pieces. I would bet that Justin Herbert wins a championship before Joe Burrow wins a championship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
He's just smooth.
Very smooth.
The one thing that Dave Gettleman got right as GM of the Giants was when Herbert was still an underclassman, he said if he would come out early, we'll take him with our first pick. They liked him that much. And then I think Herbert said, you know what? I think I would not like to play for the Giants. So I'll stay in school another year.
That's funny. But I'll tell you, God. I think what we're seeing in the NFL this year is that kind of resilience. It's not just this year. It's every year. It's even last year when Tampa dealt with injuries and stuff like that. You know, resilience is the name of the game. You had the Cardinals being quarterbacked by Colt McCoy with no D-Hop, and they trounced them. It was never close.
No A.J. Green, and then Edmonds got hurt.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan had the worst day of the
– He's got to be on the hot seat, right?
Holy Shanahan.
And you know, to Pope's point, you know, they ran the guy – Pope has the number, whatever, is 230-something, whatever, however many carries.
219.
Yeah, through Derrick Henry, you take him out of the offense. They don't miss a beat against Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, you know, a very good Rams defense, and Matt Stafford, and resilient team. So
that Adrian was a physical Peterson beatdown scored a too. Touchdown.
Yeah. But
by the way, kudos to the Titans defense, because specifically their defensive line confused the shit out of Stafford yesterday. I mean, and to the point he threw one of the worst passes.
Oh my god, that was terrible.
Years.
But they were all over him.
Yeah, and I have to apologize to the Titans because I said their season was over without Derrick Henry.
I think we all did.
Yeah.
Well, see, I liken the Titans. I mean, the Cowboys lost to the Broncos. To the Titans lost to the Jets. It, you know, it's just a blip.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if we can wrap with some takeaways. I actually want to get started with a takeaway that I think that we're getting really close to the NFL having to step in on the Las Vegas Raiders. That team is a real dumpster fire. The tragedy of Henry Ruggs driving his Corvette at 156 miles per hour, double the legal limit for alcohol consumption, killing a woman and her pet, injuring a passenger, you know, his NFL career and a sizable chunk of his life is going to be lost to prison. They've got a cornerback who they draft in the first round who couldn't handle that someone was sliding into his DMs to say that he was having a bad game. So the cornerback got on live on whatever social media site it was, picking up one gun at a time, like six different guns, saying, "I'm going to kill you for real." They promptly cut him.
I haven't seen that video.
Pulled a Hernandez.
Oh, my God.
God knows what crimes he committed in the span of that video. Of course, the Gruden story. People forget that Josh Jacobs had a DUI they didn't prosecute, but he had a single car accident in January 2021. And how are they solving all of this? They're going to solve all of this by bringing in DeSean Jackson. And I don't think we need to go over.
Because this is why you don't put NFL teams in Las Vegas. I don't know if it's connected or not, but it might be.
The Raiders are a dumpster fire, and that's my takeaway. They're in bad, bad shape.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yet they're tied for the lead. In the AFC West.
Who else has a takeaway from NFL Week 9?
I've got the same takeaway I had in Week 8. The Cardinals are the real deal. And people keep saying, "Oh, I'm not sold on the Cardinals." They're 8-1, and they just beat a pretty good team without all of their stars.
Good team. Last single loss team, right? Are they the last team with
last single loss team? And my takeaway is, I think we alluded to it, is the lost opportunities of all these one loss teams to put some separation in themselves and put them into consideration. I mean, there's only one bye per each conference, and it's so important to have that home field all throughout. So, you know, kudos to the Cardinals for maintaining without Kyler Murray, and the Cowboys, Packers, Rams all lost a great opportunity to keep even with them. So that's my takeaway.
Kudos to Pope, by the way. I don't know if anyone of our listeners heard it, but we were the first to break the Kyler Murray would not be playing Sunday. Pope actually.
Oh, he's got inside.
We had SMQs had inside information.
Can't divulge my sources, but I felt pretty anonymous. Good about it. I felt so good about it, but I didn't tell my fantasy opponent S Bone Scott Leonard.
Sorry, bro.
You might have. Sorry,
did he start him?
He started him.
You didn't tell him.
You didn't tell him.
Oh, bro.
Ooh, wow.
We're gonna have to reveal that.
Wow.
I think that's a violation.
No, I don't. If you follow your fantasy team, follow their injury report.
It's up to the commissioner.
All right, Milk, takeaway.
Oh, I mean, I kind of touched on it already, but I think we had kind of written the Rams into the Super Bowl, and I think we need to take a step back. I think the Titans defense showed you how you get to Matt Stafford, and you know they've lost both of their big games this year, getting back to like who they've played and all that. They lost the Cardinals and now they've lost to the Titans. And it's just, you know, the Sean McVay obsession and all that. I thought he didn't coach a very good game, by the way. I thought some of his play calling was really bad on offense. So I don't know. I think that let's put the brakes on the Rams right now and put the accelerator on the Bucks into Washington next week.
Oh, there we go.
Speaking of Washington, Bison, you want
to kill you?
Do you want to tell us what you watched on the Hallmark Channel yesterday?
Yeah, three very brief takeaways from Week 9. Number one, I'm happiest when Washington football team is on a bye and not playing. Number two, I am maybe a little bit happier than even that when all of the NFC East teams are losing. Damn it to the Giants for blowing what would have been a perfect, perfect NFL Sunday. And number three, I had no doubt that Max Verstappen had more in the tank than he showed during qualifying and was not concerned at all that he was going to win that race. That is my God. Week 9 NFL takeaways.
All right. Well, that's the NFL wrap, but I think we do have an update on the Plaxico lockup locks of the week.
House, before you get to that, I think we're talking about the poll. I think we need to rename this segment, and I really want to rename it the Ray Lewis Nobody Locked Anything Up segment, because I think that's probably more accurate at this point than what it's been called. So,
I mean, we have guys talking smack about an opposing pod because our picks are so bad.
Well,
We had a winning percentage this week.
By the way, Milk may just be the punchable face of the week this week for entertaining offers from competing pods.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
hey, no comment.
Our competitors can suck it because this week we're juggernauts. We have now just one game separating the first place team of the Bisons, who are at a really just wow strong 3-6, to four teams in second at 2-7. This week, Bison dropped from 3-5 to 3-6 by taking the Bills, who are a 14-point favorite, and lost the Jags. Pope dropped 2-7 with taking the Bengals, who were favored by 2.5.
Lost.
But we have winners.
20.
25. Who's counting? Milk was with a win, took the Vikings plus 5.5, moves to 2-7. And as Rooster said it, the smart money was on the Pats. So Rooster and I are winners. The Pats were minus 3.5, and they drubbed the Panthers. So we've got Bison at 3-6, the rest of us at 2-7. So the winners go the spoils. Bison, you still get to pick first.
Well, I am. I'm going to stick with the strategy that has treated me okay until last weekend, but I am taking the Bills at the Jets.
Oh my God!
Giving what I see is giving 13. I don't know what you have, House.
13. Wow.
Lock it up.
Wow. Bounce back. That's been screwing people all year.
And best so of luck. The Bills recently.
Rooster, what do you have? You're surging into second place.
I am going to go with my Cardinals.
Ooh.
Cardinals. What's the line
minus
on that?
10.
Is it minus 10 over the Panthers?
Home against the Panthers.
The Panthers are in disarray. I like that.
Yep.
Okay. Pope?
You know me. I love bandwagons, and I'm jumping back on the Titans bandwagon this week. Given 3 at home to the Aints, who
were
exposed by the Falcons.
Yep.
But they're up and down. You never know. But I think the Titans showed us something on Sunday night that we didn't think they had in the tank.
Yeah.
So I like it. -3, giving it to the Saints at home.
That was my number 2. Thinking,
bandwagon is a great nickname for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Milk, are you still going to stick with the opposite strategy?
I love that pick. Tennessee, big time win yesterday at home against the Saints, who looked terrible. Love Tennessee.
Here we go.
Take the Saints, baby. Saints minus 3. Going Saints.
That is so confusing for Tad. I mean, what's he going to do?
Yeah. Love the Saints. Listen,
talk about a bounce back game. I think the 49ers are a disgusting team. I think the Rams are going to win this easy. The Rams are -4 at the 49ers. Sorry to the Sanguinettis, but the 49ers suck. The Rams -4. That's my lock of the week, and those are your locks of the week.
All right. Best of luck, everyone.
Best of luck. Back to you, Bison.
Back in it.
All right. Hey, Milk. Let's talk a little college football. You got an update for us?
Yeah. Thing? You want to talk college football?
Not really.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that interesting, but go ahead. We'll give it a minute.
It is getting interesting. We only got 3 weeks left, but we're about an hour away from the latest playoff rankings coming out. Last week, Georgia, Alabama, Michigan State, Oregon. We had Michigan State blow it against, who was that, Purdue?
Purdue, as usual.
It's just as usual. Look, we're trying to give these teams a chance. You guys want all these teams to come in that are never in the playoff. We're trying. They keep losing. It's not my fault. So now this week, it's probably going to be Georgia 1, Bama 2. You got to think Oregon goes to 3, and then Ohio State at 4. And I think you're still got Cincy on the outside looking in, but they're close. Probably going to be 5. Remaining schedules here. We only have 3 games left. I think Georgia wins out. Their toughest game is at Tennessee on Saturday, which will be a little closer than I think the experts think. Alabama at Auburn. That's their toughest game. Mm.
Always.
Always a tough game. But then Georgia and Alabama, if Alabama wins, Georgia and Alabama play each other in the SEC championship. Oregon, very difficult game. I think it's this weekend at Utah. They're coming strong. I think they've won like five games in a row. Very losable game. And then you got Ohio State who's going to play Michigan at the end of the year. That's their toughest game. So you got to think.
Doesn't Ohio State go to Penn State this weekend?
Yeah, but Penn State.
What about Oklahoma? Aren't they undefeated still?
Oklahoma's undefeated, but the way they're winning games, they're like ranked like eighth or ninth.
Isn't that same though with Cincinnati? Do you really think Cincinnati's going to be five?
So this is the scenario. So let's say it's Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, Ohio State. Georgia and Alabama play each other in the SEC championship game. So if Bama loses, you cannot put a two-loss Alabama in over Cincinnati.
They're out.
But you could put Michigan State or Michigan over them.
Notre Dame gets in.
That's not going to happen.
No. This could get nuts. You could have Oregon lose at Utah very easily. You could have Ohio State lose to Michigan.
Yeah.
It'll be interested to see what they do with
two
Michigan
losses
State.
And now Notre Dame's in the playoff.
And then you've got Notre Dame sneaking in. Yes, you do.
Here's Notre Dame's problem. It's called Cincinnati because Cincinnati beat them head to head at Notre Dame.
And right. So
they'll never get past Notre Dame will never get past Cincinnati. And all they have to do is beat a SMU team that's leaking oil. And no, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
I really wish this was a video pod so our listeners could watch Mike Phelan do the fighting leprechaun. It's a doppelganger, really.
Oh god! Look, so the bottom line is the hope for college football being interesting comes down to Cincinnati.
Yeah. If you want them in, this is their chance. And by the way, this is also the only chance probably we'll find that Bama might not even be in it. And the Georgia, who hasn't won a national championship in 40 years, this is their only chance to win a national championship. If they don't do it this year, they're done. They're never winning one again.
Well, is Georgia the home of champions? Transition. Nice. Hope, talk to us a little bit about the World Series. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bandwagon.
Oh, whatever. As you guys know, and I had got to experience watching the World Series with my dad, my longtime team Braves finally brings the championship home after 1995, first one. We left here on Monday afternoon after game five, going back to Houston, and we went over all the numbers. And I said, the bottom line is the Braves have got to take care of business game six, because the stats are they are going to lose game seven at home against Houston, who's going to be home. So Braves took care of business. It wasn't even close. When Soler hit a home run that is over left field wall, I think it's still traveling probably towards Dallas at this point from Houston. He hit that ball so far. He was the MVP, a deserved so. And, Soler came to them in a trade in July, the great trade that we never really talked about because all the other trades, where they got Jocktober Peterson, they got Rosario. I mean, they cleaned up in the trade. And so the GM for the Braves certainly is going to be applauded.
Yeah.
Max Fried came back to form in game six. There was not really a whole lot to talk about. It was 7-0. It was never close. There was a lot of Braves fan there celebrating because I think Houston is kind of had given up. So kudos to the Braves. Next year will be interesting. Freddie Freeman's a free agent.
They need to back up the money truck for him.
I agree. And Correa's probably gone. They gave him a qualifying offer, but he's probably gone from Houston. How about Kershaw not getting a qualifying offer? What do you guys think about that?
I think he's between injuries and playoff failures.
Yeah.
Doesn't that mean they're going to spend everything on Scherzer to keep him?
Probably.
They should. Their other guys still got problems. Bauer still got possible criminal problems.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, the Braves get Acuna back next year. So they could repeat. Pitching staff is going to be back, hopefully. You know, full recovery by Charlie Morton and looking good.
Charlie Morton will be 55 then.
Did you say, are you talking about repeating? Really?
I think he's going really? There.
I'm not going to predict it right now, but I'm saying they will definitely be in the mix.
Wait, I have a question. Bandwagon, is it a repeat if the Rangers win it next year?
That's a great question. But that's an impossibility, so that's not going to be anything we have to talk about.
Pope, well,
congratulations.
I'm sure the irony wasn't lost on you that the Braves, over all those years when you were a fan back in the day, had won 14 championships, division champions straight, and only one World Series. And then this team, who was left for dead with 88 wins, probably shouldn't have even won the division, but for the rest of the division sucked. That's the team that wins the World Series first time out. Pretty
it's amazing.
Remarkable.
I mean, House, you remember you guys were a game and a half ahead, I believe, in August. Yep. And Braves were still sputtering. So this was a team that was never destined for this championship.
Are we going to have to change all of our SMQB swag now that Pope has a new nickname?
But Pope, this was their fourth NL East title in a row, right?
Yeah, but true? I mean, but they, so. You know, they haven't been. Well, they lost the NLCS last year. They were up 3-1. Yeah. So I mean, right. Look, but based on their play this year, losing Acuna and the other guy, you know, self-inflicted, they were not considered to be long-term potential playoff run this year.
Well. Right. So you're putting them back in the World Series next year?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Why wouldn't I?
Against the
Rays? Rangers.
Really fun 11 months. Really fun 11 months of baseball. All right, let's move on.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you how good baseball is. I just got my tickets for spring training, so I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, that's
all right.
When football ends, nope. You start thinking about pitchers and catchers.
It. Yeah, you know, if the Phillies. Bryce Harper and Zach Wheeler pull off the Cy Young MVP double-double. It'll be the first time since Steve Carlton and Mike Schmidt in 1980.
When is that announced?
I think it's coming up in the next couple of weeks. Wheeler's not going to get it. I think it's going to be Corbin Burns, the guy from LA Law. And,
that's right, Corbin Burns.
Corbin Burns and Bryce
and Major
Harper.
League. He was in Major League.
In the NL. Yeah,
Major League.
Yeah. Should right. be interesting. Should be interesting. Well, let's move it on to our favorite segment of the week, the punchable face of the week.
It's this week's punchable face.
It was some real competition this week.
There really
Rooster,
was.
Rooster, I mean,
ooh, we punch listen, it
when I, when I tell you. People about this podcast, I always say there's two segments, and there's the punchable face of the week, and there's a Ted Lasso moment. And without doubt, there is much more competition in sports for the punchable face of the week.
Oh, yeah. Lasso moment. So many.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been really easy to give it to OBJ, but this week's recipient is one of two star athletes who inexplicably, once they became famous, turned their back on their family. Who's the other one?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and?
Kyrie Irving.
Our least favorite golfer.
Oh, Captain America.
Patrick Reed. So, I mean, what kind of a person does that, right? So that just shows you what kind of people we're talking about here. Last week, Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID-19. And had to be kept off the active roster for Sunday, which clearly cost his team a loss because the Chiefs played like dog shit. And the Packers would have won that game by 3 or 4 touchdowns if Rodgers had played. That wouldn't necessarily be cause for a punch in the face, but for the fact that he didn't get vaccinated and he lied about it.
He got immunized.
He was bodily immunized.
He said, yeah, I'm immunized. And there's guys on this team who haven't been vaccinated. I think that's a personal decision. I'm not going to judge those guys. How else do you interpret that statement other than he's been vaccinated? They're not. He's not going to judge them. turns out he was one of those guys. He just lied to us about it. And now that he's facing all this outrage from the press, who are pissed that they were sitting in tiny little press spaces with him when he gave his pressers and he wasn't wearing a mask. The fans who are pissed that he's cost him at least one game. You know, and his sponsors who sit there and shoot those stupid State Farm ads with him and all these other ads that he does while he's not wearing a mask, they're all pissed at him. And now his little feelings have been hurt because he didn't like it when people are pissed at him. So he comes out like a little fucking crybaby Karen and is now Karen Rogers, not Aaron Rogers. He says, oh, the woke mob is after me. It's like I'm in a witch hunt, cancel culture, boo, 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 boo. Pussy. And so there turns out that this he wanted to be so innocent, like, look, I'm just a sensitive, intelligent guy doing some alternative research here. That's turns out it wasn't any kind of research. It was him relying on his bestie, Josh Rogan, who is a college Joe Rogan, college dropout, comedian, podcaster. That's who's giving medical advice to Karen Rogers. And to make it even worse, Joe Rogan contracted coronavirus after coming out with all this bullshit nonsense against the vaccine and masks, and then turned around and said on air, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm a fucking moron. That's a quote. I'm a fucking moron. I'm not a respected source of information, even for me. After that quote, Aaron Rodgers gives like 500 pages of documents to the NFL trying to fight his appeal, saying that, you know, masks aren't necessary, vaccines aren't necessary. You know, just nonsense.
He's well, got the D. He's got the dewormer. That's all he needs.
You got. Yeah, he's taking the horse dewormer. This Mr. Oh, I'm into alternative organic medicines. Right. That's bullshit. He's taking the fucking horse dewormer, right, like all the other QAnon nut jobs.
This guy QAnon. Well,
that's going to hurt our ratings now.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Tampa.
Damn. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Milk your people were like, oh yeah, Rogers, I like that. And he's like, well, I don't want them liking me. So he comes out and bashes them and says, I don't give a shit about Fox News and those right wingers. I would never appear on that station. He's just so confused. He wants everyone to like him, and now he doesn't know who he is. He's a sham. And well, I think
these guys, it's so ridiculous. So they're calling him Q Iran. Anyway,
Q-A-A-Ron.
Hold on, let me
Q-A-A-Ron.
How long is he out for?
He doesn't want to put anything.
That's part of the story. This is the best part.
He doesn't want to put anything bad in his body, first of all, right? So what does he do? He doesn't take the vaccine, and instead now he's putting, you know, 19 different things into his body. It's the biggest bunch of bullshit.
Including horse pills for worms.
If you
kind of a fucking idiot does that.
If you want to see NFL ratings through the roof, then pray for Aaron Rodgers to be healthy again for Sunday night, because it's going to be the return of Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Good versus evil Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this game is going to be off the chain in ratings.
Have you seen the meme out there where it's Karen Rodgers with the Karen hairdo and the beard? It's hilarious.
You can't talk about this story without at least mentioning the NFL and how they should get at least an elbow to the jaw or something here. Because
the Packers covered for him the whole time.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, first of all, how did the media, like, shame on the media for not following up on that? You know, like, wait, I'm sorry. You said you've been immunized? Did you take Moderna? Yes or no? Did you take Pfizer? Right. Yes or no? Did you take J&J? Yes or no? There's clearly no lawyers in that audience who let that all slip by. But, you know, this guy should have had different rules going forward the whole time he was there, with or without being positive, right? That's my understanding of the NFL rules on this, was if you weren't vaccinated, you had to wear a mask during practice in the locker room. Yeah. And nobody enforced that. Why? Why did that not get enforced by anyone?
Did they know?
Yeah, do we know for sure?
Or did he lie to them?
They had to know.
The honor system? It's a fucking multi-billion dollar.
How do they have to know?
Because they're supposed to report to the league who's been vaccinated.
But did everybody just say I got vaccinated? Did he have to players have to.
What,
literally
did he fly to Guatemala and get one of the fake?
Maybe he got a fake vax card.
Do they require the players, if they say they're vaccinated, they require them to show their card?
So then he lied to the team. I don't think.
Well, no, I would prefer that he just lied to everybody, because that would make him even more evil.
I mean, my law firm requires you to show a vaccine card. We have 9 employees. I mean, you told me the NFL wasn't like, yeah, I think we probably ought to see their vax card.
Hey,
he is so butthurt by the fact that now even his liberal Hollywood girlfriend is upset with him. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He's trying to apologize and say, I'll take a little responsibility for misleading everyone. Well, that's big of you.
Hey,
douchebag.
One douchebag. Loss in the NFC. That might be the difference between going on the road.
Right.
The entire playoffs.
That's huge.
You might be in Tempe versus Lambeau Field.
But what, if he tests positive again this week, he's not playing, right?
Right. That's right. Yeah. And they cannot win.
No, and they're
Jordan
done.
Love.
They can't they're win. Done. They can't play Jordan Love.
Jordan Love was like that guy Jamarcus Russell. That's about how comfortable he looked in the pocket Sunday.
Did you see the YouTube? Have you seen the YouTube of the little kid that's on the end of the diving board and he's so scared to jump off, he's literally shaking? And they put one with Jordan Love's face on it.
I'm
so scared.
That was bad.
It was bad.
All right. Well, Milk, I hope you have an eventful trip to the nation's capital this week.
I'm really excited about it. Someone must pay for the Saints loss, and unfortunately, it's going to be you.
There's so much arrogance.
Wow. Why didn't you pick the Washington football team as your lock, given your recent strategy?
I love the Bucks, which would mean I would have to take Washington. I can't bet.
Exactly.
Milk, I got to ask you, the last time you played the Washington football team, you had a little bit of a scare. Like, are you a little bit worried about the rematch from the playoff?
No.
Don't be.
I'm not.
Don't be. I wouldn't be.
I'm not sure. Heineken has circled this on his calendar for this.
Yeah.
Look, I will say everybody plays their best game against us, so it might not be a complete blowout. But someone must.
Oh. Is your wide receiver healthy yet, Bison?
No.
I don't know.
McLaren or whatever.
Dude, he's been watching Christmas shows on Hallmark Channel.
Right.
Kidding me?
We're healthy. Healthy, schmealthy, doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with our team.
So have you seen X Field on Sunday, Bison?
No, he's going to be watching Ghosts of Christmas Past.
It won't be packed at all. It'll be packed with Bucks fans.
75%. What's capacity? What are y'all going to have?
Oh, first of all, they've covered up about 12,000 seats that they don't sell anymore. They did that a couple of years ago.
Oh, that is so bad.
So they're down to about 75,000 seats, and they'll probably be 55,000 there.
And 20,000 will be Bucks fans.
That's not even an that's not even an SEC crowd. That's awful.
Will one of those 55,000 be Christopher Tinace?
Fuck no.
Wow.
I'll keep your sheet warm for you.
Yeah. I told you. I'm done.
He's not even going. He's not going to the game. I'm going to be there.
I'm going to have a beer with me. And you're going to be
in D.C. I'll be in D.C.
Oh, come on. You got to have a beer with your podcast, mate.
I said I'd have a beer with him. I'm not going to the game, though.
Maybe you guys can go to a, ooh, you can go
that
to
could
a nice
be a punchable place. Face right there.
What do you mean? I set you up with every place you should go. In fact, I want to hear about your agenda as soon as we end the podcast here.
What time's kickoff?
Oh, it's definitely 1 o'clock.
Yeah, this is not a 4 o'clock game.
You guys can go to a nice brunch.
Right. Yes.
You know, we were about to end this podcast in a reasonable amount of time until we got into this rambling nonsense.
Yeah. All right.